no, Maria, we can't do the podcast this week. I ate my microphone.
Oh, no. How come I can still hear you, though?
I don't know. It's because by eating a microphone, I'm now able, I have like a superpower where I can insert myself into any radio wavelength.
That's not what I thought you were going to say. I thought you were going to say, because I ate a microphone, there's now a microphone in my throat and everything I say is amplified.
Oh, no, it's much cooler than that.
Microphone throat coming this summer to theaters near you. That would be the worst, especially if you had the burps.
It really, that would be, or the hiccups.
Yeah.
So I was like hiccuping in every, but it's by my choosing.
Oh, you can switch it on and off. I can pick
a frequency and like make myself heard over it. It's really great. I'm going to change the political face of this country.
With your, oh, because it's like, you've got your megaphone.
For the people who still listen to radio.
Do you know, I have a friend who ate fish and he was burping up fish and he had hiccups at the same time. Is there anything in your life you've heard of that is grosser than that? The answer is no.
Maria, I think that on the scale of universal grossness, like fish burps and hiccups is not super high.
I think it sounds like the worst.
Okay, but that's because you haven't like had kids.
Oh, yeah, kids are gross.
Yeah, kids are, I think.
You're talking like you have had kids right now.
No, but I've been around kids.
Welcome to Magic the Amateuring.
This is a show where we talk about Magic the Gathering or the grossest things.
I'm one of your hosts, Maria Pants.
I'm your other host, Megan, the radio wave woman.
On today's episode, we've got a lot of great stuff for you, including how to go into a draft format if you know absolutely nothing about it.
That's right. We're going to talk about our own recent Modern Masters drafts and
tips. Beef tricks. Tips. We're talking about beef tips.
Why?
Nope. That was my shopping list. We're talking about tips for GP Vegas.
That's right. Tips for GP Vegas.
Or really any GP.
Yeah.
You know.
But specifically Vegas right now.
Right now.
But like later on any of them.
You know, these can save them in your little man purse. Use them anytime.
Exactly.
You know what magic bags are? Merces. Nothing. They're definitely merces.
Yeah. Although, so I have to ask, is a man purse a purse, like a merce, because a man is wearing it? Or can a woman have a merce?
Great question. It really is.
We'll answer with our own opinions at the end of the episode.
You have to stick around.
You have to wait until then.
What a tease. For the noobs going in cold. And no, we don't mean... I'm not going to say that joke.
Please, I don't want to even know... My brain is running through 12 things, and what you came up with is probably worse.
Probably.
Oh, goodness.
I won't say it. All out there know what it was.
I don't want to know what it was.
So sometimes a draft format hippity hops down the bunny trail, and you decide you want to play it, but you know nothing about it. You've never heard any set reviews. You've never read any set reviews. You might not have even looked at all of the cards in the card image gallery. Mm-hmm. You're just like, I'm just sitting down. Let's play.
Well, first of all, why didn't you look at the list of cards? That's probably a good idea.
You know, laziness, general malaise.
General malaise?
Reporting for duty.
I don't think generals report to fucking anybody.
Who's the highest in the army?
An admiral is above a general, but that might only be boats.
What's a colonel?
A colonel is definitely below a general.
Wrong. It's on a ear of corn.
That's below a general, Maria.
In my army, corn kernels are the highest rank.
God, this army sounds like the worst.
A lot of times people go and ask the stocks of corn for advice, and they don't hear any. They just, you know, sit there.
That's right. But they do give the best advice because it turns...
Is that what you're going to say?
Nope. Oh. I was going to say that the corn then is giving the best advice because it's what you knew to be true the entire time, but you had to do a little soul searching to find it.
Yeah, that's true.
So before you go into your
my
first
joke
draft,
was way more corny. Okay, I'm done. I'm done. Just call me LSV 2.0.
All right, LSV 2.0. When you go into a new draft format, you should take a look. That's one of the things that you should do to prep yourself.
Okay, okay.
Even if you've never been able to play before, you should make yourself familiar with all the cards.
An experience I had with this very recently was playing some flashback drafts on Magic Online, which they occasionally have. And the most recent one that everybody was jumping in and playing around in the water, splashing around in the kiddie pool with...
Uh-huh.
I'm done with water metaphors.
Thanks.
was, you know, that one.
Tempest Remastered.
That's it.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Gosh.
You guys, it's so Memorial Day, and I had a strong drink.
Oh my God, Maria, you drove between drinking and this podcast.
I know, but I'm just, it's like more of I'm tired now.
You're tired now. That's fair.
I'm tired now. Yeah. Yes, yes. Tempest Remastered, which is a bit of an anomaly because it was a remastered draft set from the past, made to be better for draft this time around.
That's right. And Maria, what did you do to acquaint yourself with Tempest Remastered before you jumped into it?
Anything? Sure, because Megan and I started playing 2.5 years ago, so we had never heard of or seen, you know, most of the cards in this set, but I wanted to give it a go and try and play it. So what I did is I read through the card spoiler, all of the cards in the set, just kind of glanced at it, and you don't really get an insane amount of information from that just because there's so much information there, and it's not presented in any way that's like groups. It's just boom, there's your wall of info coming at you. But that was the first step. Second step is, well, this is not going to be true of every set, but, you know, it was really nice. Limited Resources did a primer for Tempest Draft with one of the designers of the set, so that was very nice. But also, I went and looked online and found older articles of people had written back in the day sort of about the archetypes in Tempest.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that kind of helped to figure out what people are thinking back then. And people had also written very very recently about the same thing. Like, these were the cards that were good when it was back then, and then now maybe they're not as strong or whatever because they've shifted in rarity, etc. So that was very helpful. For instance, there's a card that basically you pay X and it just does that much damage divided among, you know, number of creatures, number of players, whatever you want to do. And that card is Rolling Thunder. And that card is an uncommon now. It used to be a common, but it was helpful to know things like that because, I mean, let's say I didn't know as much as I know about Magic. Like, maybe I didn't know that card was as strong as it is, but it's an uncommon. It's not a rare. Going into a draft, a newer player might say, oh, I want to play the rare, without knowing that something like Rolling Thunder is just banana nuts and you should take it probably over most things.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's also, just in general, I would say trying to like acquaint yourself with the power level of the set.
Yes.
Like, does the set have just a ton of bomb rares, like Fate Reforged, where it's just like the rares are insanely bomby? Or is it a set where there's like really strong, uncommons that you can build specific archetypes around, or maybe just like uncommons that are stronger than a lot of like, or as strong as a lot of the rares in the set.
Right.
Is something that's very helpful to know. Because, like, for instance, Tempest Remastered, you said, like, the power level is kind of, like, meh.
Pretty it's low. Like, pretty low.
Yeah. So that's very different from something than, like, say, Dragons of Tarkir.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, some of the high power level cards are very, very high powered.
You can find clues to this too when looking through the spoiler. Like in Tempest Remastered, there's a card called Bandage, which just prevents one damage. And that's kind of a clue, like, that maybe one damage is pretty important in this set. And it turns out that it is, because there's a lot of shadow creatures running around which have one toughness, and shadow creatures are pretty annoying if you can't kill them after a period of time. And also, you want to protect your shadow creatures, which is why a card like Bandage exists. And and there's other cards that redirect damage for free onto other cards. And so, you know, it's, Tempest, low power level, and there were clues scattered about that the power level is relatively low, and that when looking at a pack, you didn't necessarily have to see something that was like, oh, a 6/6 for 6, great, I'm going to take that, you know. Maybe back then, the best you could do was a 4/5 for 6 or something along those lines.
Yeah, absolutely. So getting kind of like getting a baseline established.
Right.
I found that something as we were getting ready to do these Modern Masters drafts was looking at lots of players, especially pro players who are practicing, will tweet different draft decks that they've done already. So I didn't go to one of the super early drafts. I only drafted on Sunday as opposed to like Friday or Saturday. And so there were lots of pros who were tweeting their pictures of their decks and talking about how they had done.
Right.
Which helps, again, help me, like, kind of get a baseline for what archetypes are strong and what colors are strong. Spoiler alert, red blows.
Don't talk about it yet. Red fucking blows. Wait, you guys, we're going to talk about it in our next segment. Right.
So anyways, I feel like that's something else that, like, that's another place that you can look for a little bit of information, because pros By the nature of their playing and their jobs, they often kind they of tend get a to jump.
Do well.
Well, I was gonna say they get a jump also on practicing these formats.
Yeah.
So they might have, you know, like I think Tomoharu Saito tweeted like 13 decks. He drafted like 13 times or something like that. Just an insane number of times, and put pictures of all the decks.
That's my dream.
And their records on there. And so it was super interesting, you know, yeah. Very helpful to look at.
Something that's good to remember going into any set is the basic vanilla test when evaluating creatures. You know, how good is this creature based on its stats and casting cost alone?
Mm-hmm.
Is it, you know, does it cost way too much for what it is, or is it about right? Mm-hmm. As well as the color wheel and the abilities of the colors that they normally have. So being familiar with those sorts of things, which is, you know, very basic, you know, Magic 101 kind of stuff. You know, don't discredit it. Don't think that it's not important going into a draft format. Like, your knowledge of that stuff is going to take you maybe 70% of the way there. Mm-hmm. Maybe even more.
Absolutely.
So
Another thing is to, when we're going back to the power level for a minute, is also kind of knowing, like I was just indicating, about the power level of different colors.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's another place where you can go to like Twitter or maybe articles or limited resources if they're kind of talking, they'll talk about the color in general. And I'll tell like the story more when we talk about the Modern Masters draft, but knowing it's like, oh, if I open a really good uncommon in the strongest color versus like a fine or a good rare in a weak color, one, how much does that like suit your archetype preferences or your color preferences? And two, how does that fall into like the power level of the set? Because even if you open like a good rare but a great uncommon, their power level might be about the same or a little bit different, but you might want to skew more towards like the uncommon because you know that that draft color is better.
Sure.
So there you go.
And I think keeping in mind your strengths as a drafter is important too. I remember going into Innistrad, Megan and I played Innistrad, and this one I didn't know anything about.
Yeah, God, we knew nothing.
I had not looked at a single card.
Yeah.
We just sat down and got Innistrad, whatever.
Dark Ascension,
and opened it.
I think it went Dark, Innistrad?
Oh, I don't remember.
Innistrad, Dark, Innistrad? No, that's
not. See, we still don't know anything about it, unfortunately.
We drafted it once. That one time.
Oh, God. But I had heard somewhere somebody say to me, werewolves is good. Like, yeah. I think that was the extent of anything I'd heard about it. So yeah. I drafted werewolves.
Nice. I bombed that draft, but I opened a Geist of St. Draft, so.
Yeah. Worth it.
Exactly. It turned out, everything turned out okay.
I mean, if you know that you're stronger being an aggressive player, you know, just kind of tilt yourself towards playing more aggressive colors like red.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to if you like to be a bit of a control player, maybe you tend towards drafting blue. And I mean, that's going to be true across sets until Wizards prints my dream set, which is...
Everything's aggressive.
That's called Zendikar. Well, yeah, no, this is where everything's backwards. It's a mirror universe.
Oh, that would be crazy.
And red draws all the cards and blue is super aggro. And black, like, gives you life and has angels. And white kills shit.
That would be amazing.
I don't know why green is different. Green is just, like, tiny little dudes.
Yeah. Green is, like, the... When white has, like, the white weenies. It's, like, green weenies. Green weenies. I don't know why.
Oh, my God.
That sounds so much more hysterical than white weenies.
Because it's also my favorite brand of pickle. Honey, you want some green weenies with your sandwich?
Never.
Never, Mom.
Never, Mom. Thanks. And as always, so I kind of worry when I first go into a draft of a new format that I'm just going to make a complete mess out of it. Because yeah. I have done that in the past.
I mean, we all have.
So I think it's just, it's the most important to remember, like... Try as much as you can to kind of stick to a two-color pair at the most, unless you're going to pick up a lot of fixing or it's like a multicolor set. And make sure that you have, you know, like a decent mixture of creatures, like you have a good curve and you have a decent number of removal spells. You know, like very basic, like the basic foundations.
Good basics, I think, is what we're saying.
Yeah, of building a draft deck.
It's like your wardrobe. If you have a nice LBD, that stands for Little Black Dress, for all you guys out there, You've got, like, you know, nice jean jacket and boots.
You can't even say the phrase nice jean jacket because you know what a lie that is.
That's all. And what I'm saying is that's all you need. You just need the basics. A little like black a dress,
jean jacket,
and boots.
Jesus.
You're ready for anything.
What is that outfit? What is that outfit?
Well, Megan,
even?
What I'm saying is you can wear that.
Maria,
with
I want
everything.
You to picture. I want you to picture that outfit in your head because it's god awful.
What kind of boots are you picturing?
Like boots.
Oh, you mean like snow boots?
No, but like boots, boots.
Boots, boots.
Yeah, like boots.
They're like, in my head, they're like white cowboy boots with rhinestones.
God. And you think that that's
that's
better.
A staple piece in any wardrobe.
You're right. I forgot how you own those white rhinestone cowboy boots.
As long as you have all of the staple pieces in your wardrobe, you can feel
it's
free.
It's going to be so bad.
To, yeah, build around as you put on that crazy crop top.
Exactly.
That says, my eyes are up here, but it's like on your little crop top.
Oh my god.
Now that I'm saying that, I'm like, I'm pretty sure Urban Outfitters makes that shirt.
They probably do. They probably do. If it's a bad fashion idea, Urban Outfitters has made it.
I'm going to email them right now.
Excuse me, I was looking for a crop top that you have.
It says my other up here.
But it's on my shirt.
It's on my boob.
So yeah, at the end of the day, the number one thing is don't flip out. Just,
yeah.
You know, stick with the good basics and you're gonna be all right, kid.
When going in cold, keep a cool head.
There you go. That was such a nice phrase.
Thank you. I read it on a fortune cookie.
Really?
Nope.
I don't even know what to believe. So, Maria.
Yeah, Megan.
We recently drafted some Modern Masters.
I did draft
2015
it.
Edition.
Yes.
So, tell us a little bit about your draft.
Well, I was super excited, you guys, because I loved original Modern Masters more than any draft I've ever done.
That's true. You did.
And so, this one I was, you know, hopes equally high. Unfortunately, if you follow me on Twitter, follow us on Twitter, rather, we have one account. We're like a two-headed monster. I posted a picture of my deck, which you can see if you go and follow MTA Cast. Mm-hmm. And I decided to play a draft red, white equipment, which is one of the archetypes mm-hmm. that they are pushing.
Absolutely.
The reason I went into this is I opened a spike feeder. I believe that's what it's called.
A spike feeder?
Something like that.
He's, tell me about it.
You pay one red, and he can do damage to target creature or player equal to his power. I believe.
Spike Shot Elder, I think?
Spike Shot Elder? That kind of sounds more right.
Hold on. I'll
Spike
show you
Feeder,
a picture.
Though, I think is a card.
I mean, it definitely sounds like a card. This guy?
Yeah, him.
Okay.
Yeah, Spike Shot Elder.
Word. You got it.
So I had him. That was my pack one, pick one. I'm like, okay, you know, let's try
what
it.
What is he printed at in Modern Masters?
He's a rare.
Okay.
He is at rare. And I'm like, sure. And then I got past the four... What is he? He's a 2/3 for 4 that if his power is 4 or greater, you can tap him to do 4 to a target creature.
Wow. Okay.
So both of these cards want you to be in a certain archetype, and that is red-white equipment.
Mm-hmm,
and I was just kind of like, from there on, I sort of read the signals and red was open and I was like, okay.
Hold on. I'm going to read you the flavor text on this guy.
Oh, sure.
Now that he knows 1,000 ways of hurting people, his next shamanic quest is to discover 1,000 more.
Sick.
Fucked up.
That guy's messed.
He's real messed. I mean, have you seen him?
Yeah, he looks like me after a night of drinking. He's a little barf guy. I tweeted that too.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yes.
Continue, friend.
So, I decided, you know, like, I didn't think that it was going to be a strong archetype. Mm-hmm. At least that was my feeling. But I decided to go with it, as that seemed to be what was open. So I drafted those guys. I had not one, not two, but 3 Sun Lances.
Ooh.
And a Lightning Bolt.
Nice.
And an Oblivion Ring.
Wow.
And an Arrest.
Jeez.
And I had all the creatures that this deck wants you to have, including Spike Shot Elder and the 2/3 that smacks for 4 when mm-hmm. its power is 4 or greater. The Double Strike Flyers, as well as the cat that gets lifelink when she's equipped. Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff. As well as some flying finishers, mm-hmm. like the 4/4 White Flyer and the 3/3 Bloodthirst mm-hmm. for 6 Red Flyer. So, you know, I had a, you know, good equipment in my deck, and you know, tricks like a couple +3/+3 brute force. The problem was that this deck was terrible.
Why?
You know, it's really weird, and I think the answer is because, for a few reasons. Number one, it's a combo deck. It does not work. Your creatures are really bad if they're not wearing equipment. Right?
Yep, that's true. That's true. That 1-1 for one is just a shitty ass 1-1 for one. Oh boy,
he's just a 1-1.
Until you have like 6 mana. Oh god. Four
right, I know. So,
but yeah.
You yep. gotta have both, or else your creatures suck. I mean, there is yep. no other way to put it.
That's totally fair.
So I did have, I think, the correct balance of creatures and equipment. Mm-hmm. I did have all that sweet removal, though, so that was...
That is real sweet removal, man.
Whew. But the thing was, the removal could deal with early stuff from my opponent while mm-hmm. I was trying to find my fucking equipment to put on my guys.
Yeah.
Or finding my guys for my fucking equipment. Mm-hmm. But then, guess what they did? They cast an Eldrazi or something. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even if it was just a 4-4 for 5, right? Yeah. I've done all this work getting my equipment out there, getting my guys out there. They kill my guy, and I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Now I just have this pile of equipment laying there. You know? It was very weak. I think the thing with this deck is, I think it's, number one, this archetype is, I do think it is bad. However, I do think it's also capable of, like, really impressive-looking shenanigans, right?
Yeah.
If you can get your Copper Carapace on your double strike flyer and have it stick and not be mm-hmm. you know, like, they're gonna be dead in a few turns, but like, that's not always gonna happen, and you have to figure out, I mean, I would prefer to play a deck that's not just like really really all or nothing like this deck is, plus mm-hmm. it's combo mm-hmm. it's not only all or nothing, it's also a combination deck. So I feel like I built it the way Wizards wanted me to, and I think it just stunk.
Oh.
There was also a game I lost, which was my fault because I forgot Sunlance was a sorcery. I, like, passed the turn, and then I was like, no way to that! And he just kind of looked at me, and I'm like, never mind, you can have your fucking turn. Oh, God damn it.
Gross. Yeah, that is one of the things about Sunlance. That, Maria, maybe it's because you built the deck the way Wizards wanted you to, not the way you wanted you to.
Yeah, maybe that's it. But I did open... a Vendilion click, so
money.
Yeah, all was well. Megan, tell me about your experience. It was the opposite experience.
It was the opposite. Let's see. So to start out with, when we were talking a little bit ago about like knowing if some colors are bad, it seems like in general red needs a lot of help in this set.
I agree.
It seems to need a lot of help. So I actually opened like the 5/5 dragon for 6. For 4 red, that when it attacks for 5 red, you have another attack phase afterwards.
Right.
And I was just like, there was also an air elemental, which is the 4/3 flyer for
very
5.
Solid.
Yes, that you can tap other flyers with. And I took the air elemental because I, like, we've done a couple of sealed practices, mm-hmm. and red has just been so miserable.
And, like, I knew red was horrible in sealed, but I was like, maybe it has a chance in draft because it wants to be more aggressive usually. Yeah,
exactly. Like, maybe you can draft a deck into it. I was just like, nope, that's not what's happening. And then, God, I'm trying to remember, like, what my next pick was. I want to say I then picked up, like, a Scatter the Seeds.
Yeah.
The point is that at that, like, it eventually became very clear that green-white tokens was very open because I got past, like, 3 Raise the Alarms in a row. I took 2 of them, and I took, like, an Arrest or something. I got, like a 4th pick Arrest.
Did you have Scion of the Wilds?
Yes, I had a Scion of the Wilds, which I actually got. I opened a pack in the 3rd booster. I opened a Noble Hierarch. So, money! And it had, so I took Noble Hierarch, obviously, because I was like, yeah, give me those dollars.
Did you splash for your air elemental?
No, I didn't, because my deck was just, like, so streamlined. I didn't want to ever, like, not be able to cast a card in my hand. Anyways, so I had Noble Hierarch, and then it also had, like, a Scion of the Wilds, a Scatter the Seeds, and, like, something else that would have been good in my deck. And, like, all 3 of the other cards came back around. They all wheeled.
And you're like, yes,
and I was
this
just
is
like,
happening.
Fucking A, this deck is good. And then I also, it got some help. I opened an Overwhelming Stampede, which is 3 green sorcery. All your creatures get +X/+X and trample.
So good.
So it was just like, it was It was insane.
It was
bonkers.
People have said that they think tokens is the strongest strategy in sealed as well.
And I think in draft, it's just, and in the finals, I played the other green-white tokens player at the table. And it was just like, what are you going to do? Sometimes I would go like, turn two, raise the alarm. Turn three, scatter the seeds because you can convoke it out.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, now I have like five tokens and a couple of like pump spells for my team and my deck. It's just, it was gross. It was so good. And then I had a couple of ways to, like, if I flooded out, I had like a couple of Gnarled packs.
You had three.
I had three Gnarled packs.
So cute.
They were very cute. It was the cutest deck. It was the cutest, the cutest deck ever.
Of all time.
Exactly. And then like another, I also had a rare Convoker. Or not a rare Convoker, a rare kicker. The one that makes two wolves for each time it's kicked.
Ooh, that sounds good.
It's a 4/4 for two green, and you kick it for green, and you get wolves.
One green?
Yeah.
You kick it for a green. That card seems nuts.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
So I played tokens in sealed when we were testing one day, and this is something I learned, perhaps I already knew about myself. I had trouble playing that deck because it requires a lot of combat math.
It does.
Oh, God.
You have to do a lot of adding.
I'm like, this is... Like, I need to have this many things stay alive in order to have enough power just by two for trample coming
up
on two turns
away. That is the
thing,
is that, like, you can get tempted to, like, chump with tokens to keep your life total high. It's like, you don't want to do that if your strategy is to pump your team at some point.
Exactly.
Too many things.
And I was sitting there and I was like, oh, this deck, why does it have to be the best deck? I don't like to play in this deck. Anyway, but what I'm kind of sad about is that, like, I hope on some level that I'm wrong about the equipment, because I feel like first Modern Masters, there wasn't really a hole. There wasn't a deck where you're like, I really hope I don't have to draft X.
Yeah.
Do you remember thinking that?
I drafted multiple Thalids decks because I was so good at opening doubling season. And I have to say, I drafted some fucking insane, from a technical standpoint, Thalid's decks.
Yeah.
That, like, just did not perform because it's so slow.
Oh, yeah.
It is so slow.
But Thalids were so fun.
It was so satisfying sometimes, and it's like, I have 40. I have 40 fucking 1/1s.
I never played it because, as aforementioned, I don't like to do math. So I would prefer to play fairies, which just tempos you so that you don't have any cards on the battlefield for me to have to deal combat math with. I just swing at you. Bounce, swing, bounce, swing. Anyway, so I hope we don't get into a situation where it's like, oh, shit. Well, white is definitely open. Red's definitely open. But I'm going to have to force something else because I don't want to be up a shit creek.
Exactly.
So I guess time will tell. Mm-hmm. Time will tell. If you guys played Modern Masters this past weekend, please send us a tweet at MTAcast and let us know your experience, what colors you went, and if you think it was good or not.
Absolutely.
Research.
We are very interested to know.
Hey, Megan, guess what?
What, Maria?
Chicken butt.
God damn it.
I got you.
That was the worst.
Hey, Megan, guess what?
I'm not doing this again.
We're going to GP Vegas this week.
We are?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's exciting. Oh,
that sounds so cool. And it will be.
God, I need to pack.
So do I. I need to do laundry. Oh, boy.
Well, so aside from all of the minutiae that has to be accomplished in order to take a good trip, let's talk about the fun we're going to have while we're there.
Sure. So GP Vegas is going to be the biggest Magic tournament of all time.
Of all time.
Oh, man. We're part of history here.
Time.
What's become of me? Do you know that song?
No.
Time. What's become of me? It's like from the 80s or 90s or something. Oh. I don't know what it's called. Listeners, get on that.
Okay.
GPs, they're big parties, big magic parties, kind of like magic conventions. A lot of people refer to them as. Mm-hmm. And there's some things you need to know. Say Vegas is your first GP and you've never GP'd before in your GD life.
Nice one.
Thank
nice
you.
One.
Thank you.
Yeah. Say that you have been to a GP, but you have since been knocked on the head and forgotten it.
Right.
You're going to need a couple of tips. Say that you've never had a drink because you've been waiting for this GP.
Yeah, this is like your first time. You need time.
Some tips about drinking.
Megan, you know what? Somebody's going to have their 21st birthday at GP Vegas. There's enough people. You think like
statistically?
People. Yeah.
I think that, okay, there's like 8,000 people pre-registered right now. 8,000. You guys, just let that sink in.
Oh my God.
Just let that, I'm personally a little overwhelmed. My head is like, how many fire exits make this okay?
You know, I will never have been around that many people in my entire life and probably never again.
Yeah, probably never will. How many people go to Gen Con? We've been to Gen Con.
Yeah, that's true.
That's
I don't know.
That's a lot of people. That's a huge building.
I'm going to wear one of those sticks on my backpack with like a little flag on the top so you can find me in the crowd.
Perfect. Perfect. I'm going to wear a Where's Waldo outfit. So just good fucking luck.
I'm going to put you on a leash, like a child leash.
One of those kid harnesses.
Yeah, a kid harness. That's it.
That would be.
Where's Megan? Oh, she's harnessed.
She's harnessed. I tied her to a chair until I was done with the round. Don't worry about it.
And you know, normally like I can walk around and find you like after our rounds.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, like watch over your shoulder or something. I'm never going to be able to find you ever.
You'll just have to figure out what my table number
is. Yeah. I hope their online pairings don't freaking go down. Can you imagine the chaos?
Like 10,000 people all going to the same site at once. Might do it.
Oh boy. Stampede. There could be a stampede.
It'll be insane.
I hope there's not a stampede.
Well, so that's actually a great thing to know. If you are going to GP Vegas, keep an eye out for one. There will be multiple places where they post pairings.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully a lot of GPs also have online pairings available.
Yes.
And so find out at GP Vegas if there are online pairings, because that's a much better way to find out than standing around a board with 1,000 other people who have the same bracket of last initials that you do.
That being said, remember to also bring your phone charger with you in your
Absolutely.
Bag. This is what to pack. Bring your phone charger, because if you don't have a new phone, chances are the battery will die on you.
You're going to be asking a lot of your phone.
Yeah.
How to find your friends, to get you a map out of the convention center.
Yep.
To find your pairings for you.
Yep.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, so definitely bring a charger. That's like the number one thing that I would always want to have in my bag and not have with me, and just be like, ugh.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe even some of those little power things that you just stick into your phone.
Oh, yeah.
That'd probably be a good idea, because those outlets are going to be prime real estate.
Yes, they are. Everybody's primo. Wanting a piece of that.
Another good thing to pack in your bag for your day at a GP is definitely snacks and water.
Yes.
For sure, because like if you say play long in your match or go to time like Megan,
screw you.
You won't have time to go get food. So you don't want to play hungry, you know,
because yeah,
you won't play well because you're concentrating on your tum tum.
No one wants to play Mr. Hyde.
No. Is that who you turn into when you're hungry?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
So, yes, that being said, also know that the best, a lot of times, it's great to have a plan of how to meet up with your friends. If you are the first person finished, you can find your friends' pairings and their table number and maybe go watch them. Or you guys can agree on, like, a meetup spot. Who knows if at the Vegas Convention Center there will be any quiet spaces.
I have no idea.
But one of my favorite things to do is to kind of find, like, a floor. It's, like, one of the upper floors somewhere usually. Yeah. That just has some windows and nobody's there because there's nothing going on.
Yeah.
Who knows if there's ever a space in Vegas where nothing is going on. That seems unlikely.
I was going to say a bathroom, but I think that's probably also wrong.
That's probably also wrong.
Something that people are going to probably talk a lot about is making sure that you have your belongings with you at all times secured. Mm-hmm. Because GPs, you know, every GP, there's one or two instances of things being stolen or lost. But also stolen. And GP is going to be so huge. I can't imagine. There might be people who go there just to try and rip you off.
Probably.
You know, I hate to say it, but I think that's probably going to be the case.
A good thing to know is to, when you put your bag under your chair, when you're playing around, put your leg through a strap of the bag.
Oh, yeah.
Because there was like a spate of incidences like a couple of years back where people were pulling bags out from underneath chairs while people were playing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it wasn't noticed. So, And considering some of the questionable ceiling of modern Masters boosters.
Oh, yeah.
Make sure that you are not getting boosters from an unverified source.
So if you guys...
just some stranger, maybe don't buy or trade modern Masters boosters with them.
If you didn't see this, there's been a bit of controversy with the Modern Masters booster packages.
That's right.
In that they're cardboard, they're recyclable, yay for that. Yay. However, it's kind of easy to open the bottom of them with an X-Acto knife, take out the cards, and replace them.
Yes.
And reseal it with nobody being the wiser. So,
that's right. Upsetting.
I would say just, if you want to buy... Oh, God, I don't even know. I would just buy a box with the Wizards wrap on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right? If you're gonna buy boosters of Modern Masters, just buy the box.
That would be the safe way to go.
Exactly.
Oh, boy. Yeah. At this GP, there's a billion artists that are also going to be there.
Yes, exactly. Go take a look at the GP Vegas website and get to know kind of maybe some artists that you'd like to check out. Mm-hmm. And be prepared to wait in a line.
Yes.
Too, as we've talked with Noah Bradley and Mike, Vorthos Mike, about tip artists when you get them to sign cards.
Yeah, that's something I didn't know that Mike pointed out in our show. And he also tweets about it. He had a great article for Gathering Magic this past week about artists at GP Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
You should tip them. And you can see in his article a list of all the artists and the times that they're going to be around, as well as the extra special swag they're going to be selling at GP Vegas.
Oh, yeah. Get yourself some sweet swag.
I'm so excited for exclusive playmats.
Oh, Maria, you have a problem.
You know, I should figure out a way to, like, display all my playmats in some kind of great artistic, like, mural.
Okay. You can use them to line the walls of your house at the crazy person room.
Okay, great.
Your room at the crazy person house. Your house at the crazy person room. Oh, boy.
This is my other GP tip.
Yeah.
Deck registration. So, unless you mm-hmm. have somebody registering your deck for you because you have 1,000 buys, mm-hmm. You're going to have to register your deck. And it is easier than you would think to make a mistake on it.
Absolutely. Remember, basic lands. You have to include the basic lands that you are playing mm-hmm. when you're registering the deck that you're playing.
And, oh boy.
Always count.
Count. Just count. That is the way to do it. Absolutely. You gotta count. Because once I left off a card and I got a game loss, that is a straight up game loss.
Yeah, it is. Because you are presenting an illegal deck.
Ugh.
So you have to look at it as a third hand card deck.
And that hurt.
And especially since this is Modern Masters. When you're past a pool, before you start building your deck, like, it does take time out of your deck building, but take a minute and go through and check the cards against the deck list and, like, make sure that you have, you know, 6 mythics or rares and 6 foils out of your sealed boosters.
Yeah,
just because
that's
the
a good
value
idea.
Is really high and you never know. At a GP with this many people and with a set with a value this high and cards that are very expensive, you know, just be safe.
And it is legal for you to drop from the tournament if you open a pool that has, like, 2 foil Goyfs in it and you're like, see ya!
Exactly.
That is totally legal. You can mm-hmm. do that, but you're also a butthole.
Yes, that's true. I feel like in this set, there's a little bit more leniency.
Yeah, I'm
because
just
we get it.
I so, mean,
like,
I get it.
Foil Goyfs is, like, that's, like, multiples of hundreds of dollars.
I guess I would, maybe I would drop about 2 foil Goyfs.
I think we played this game, didn't we?
Yeah,
like,
we
what's
did.
The value? What's, like, the dollar value of
I've
a pool?
I've been thinking about it. Then I'm like, because I'm gonna, then I can play Super Sunday Series anyway. I can play probably 6 side drafts.
You can play, like, limitless side drafts.
And I'm probably going to be okay with that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Plus my $500 of sweet, sweet American money.
Yeah. So, yes, just make sure that you alert a judge. Don't just, like, walk away.
Oh, yeah, no.
You need to let them
know. You gotta let them know.
Let those organizers know, bro.
Let them know, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Remember to bring a pen and something to track your life on, because you can't use your cell phones at this level of mm-hmm. competition.
Make sure to verbally verify with your opponents when life totals change.
Yeah, that's a really important point. I always do that, and a lot of people don't, and it is surprising the number of times that there is a discrepancy.
Anytime life totals change, I write it down and I say it out loud.
Yep.
And I say both of them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh, if you took damage, I'll be like, okay, you 15.
Yep.
And I'm at 18 or whatever.
And I think that is good practice for even at F&M, even at kitchen table.
Everywhere. Because
you don't want to come to fisticuffs, no matter where you are.
That's right. Reed Duke actually had a great article last week in his Level 1 article series on the Daily MTG.
Yep.
About playing at Grand Prix and kind of stuff about, like, prepping beforehand and stuff about interacting with opponents at Grand Prix. So also go check that out just for, like, some basics on, you know, making sure you're following the rules, other people are following the rules, being the best player you can be.
Yeah, like, it just goes without saying. The same time, I mean, but I'm going to say it the same. What we always say, don't be a dick.
Yeah,
and don't be afraid to call a judge.
That's right. Never be afraid.
Ever? What if there is a murder coming at me with, like, a knife?
Maria, I think that your only chance to get out of that situation is to be fucking fearless.
Oh, all right.
Like, what are you going to do? Is it possible to run away? Are you going to be able to run away from him?
Probably not.
Then you're going to need to be bold.
This makes you wonder why humans evolved fear in the first place, if it's just going to be useless.
No, it definitely helps you stay alive. Are you kidding? Like, it is, in the wild, it is just very reasonable to be afraid of a bear and to not do something stupid.
But what if I'm fearless of a bear instead?
What if you're fearless of a bear?
Yeah.
Then you're probably going to get murdered by that bear.
What if the bear is a 3-2 regenerator?
Oh, then it just depends.
And I'm a stampeding elk herd.
Do you have a flatten?
In my backpack?
Yes.
I
have a can of flatten. It's like bear mace. It's bear mace called flatten.
Oh my god. If magic made mace called flatten for players to carry around.
That would be amazing.
Like,
I'm going to start calling Tylenol PM narcolepsy. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. Narcolepsy is already a thing. Every time I forget a fact, I'm going to say that my brain oblivion ringed it.
That's cute.
Hey, do you remember who won the Kentucky Derby last year?
Who was
it? No, man. My brain O-ringed it.
O-ring, by the way, sounds like female birth control.
It really does. By the way, last year's Kentucky Derby winner was Orb. You're welcome.
You did remember it. Well, it's a shorty but a goodie this week on Magic the Amateuring because we got to pack and do laundry, as previously mentioned, coming up for Vegas. Mm-hmm. If you guys are going to Vegas, make sure to follow us on Twitter at MTAcast, where we'll tweet our locations for you if you want to know where we're at. You can also, there's always a fair chance we're hanging out at the Meaderies booth,
mm-hmm.
Because our LGS will be at Vegas at representing the meadery.org. So yeah, stop by and say hi to those guys, even if
get
we're not there.
Sweet MTA swag.
Yes, we will have MTA swag for you guys for free at the Meadery booth. I'm really excited about this.
As am I.
If you also find us around the convention center and ask, we'll give you some too.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to say the magic word,
which is police.
Police?
Yeah. Police.
Oh, you said please.
I did say please.
No, the magic word is green weenie.
No. No. Okay, Maria's magic word is green weenie. and my magic word
is police.
My magic word is what?
Police.
No. My magic word is I can't even know.
You know what's gonna happen?
My magic word is orb.
Okay, yeah. Orb.
Someone's
gonna come up to me and be like, green weenie, and I'm just gonna completely fucking forget and just be like,
and you're just gonna be like, what are you even doing?
I'd be like terrified. Oh boy.
That would be amazing.
I want to say thank you real quick to all the people who have recently become patrons of the show on patreon.com/mtacast.
We really appreciate it. Thank
you
so much.
Yeah, it's amazing. We've had a bunch of new patrons, mm-hmm. and we're almost up to $100 an episode, which will get you guys a draft video every single week. So
Woo. Hopefully
we can get back up to that level. You can pledge as little as $1 an ep. And yeah, if this show is something that you love every week, if it's something you look forward to or gets you through your workday, consider becoming a patron because we would love to have you.
Absolutely.
You can always listen to the show on Stitcher, iTunes, at mtgcast.com, themeatery.org, or magicktheamateuring.com. If you want to get in touch with us, tweet at us at mtacast or shoot us an email. We're magicktheamateuring@gmail.com. Online, I'm horny_unicorny.
And I am ice cream socialist.
And until the sun sets on a new dawn. What?
All is dust.
Now there's a fortune cookie.